Ramsey TV.
It's been a while since I broadcast from my car. Here I am, just like the old days. A lot of those Return to Zender videos were from the car. A lot of good messages, in my opinion, went out from this car, so I'm happy to have you all here. And I am in the studio more. I got my green screen set up. It's just like we're in the last lap of this race, and I don't want anybody to potentially stumble, like some people do. It's like, why should I listen to this guy? He's in his car. Why should I listen to this guy? He's, you know, sitting outside behind a building between a trash can and a ladder. Oh, did you see that lightning back there? Woo! Wow. Okay, God's on board here. A lot of you like me in my car, I know, and a lot of you like me in these strange places, but I think I just got to get a maintain a more professional edge on it, which is why I've been setting up my studio inside. I think it looks better. I think it's a more professional presentation, and most of you say that you like it. I'm doing it to get more people to listen, getting more people to listen, and apparently it's working. I don't follow this, but other people are telling me that my subscribers on YouTube are going up faster than they were. So something's going right. We're going to keep doing it. Welcome to MZTV. This is the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula. And for today, I'm in my car. And I want to, again, direct you to yesterday's video. It was part two of Eternal Torment Week from WCCD Radio, 1000 AM in Cleveland, Ohio, back in 1999. Five of us, I think during Eternal Torment Week, there were five of us live in the studio, demolishing the doctrine of eternal torment on Christian radio. And again, this really lends legitimacy to the message because we're on a radio station. So that show will be linked under here. The show was broadcast yesterday by our friend Rodney Paris that we did in 1999. It was on the Eons. No, actually, it was just on the word I own. The word I own. So that's a good one. That's a good one. Please watch it and send it around. I don't know social media. I don't do social media. I hate social media. When anybody ever talks about social media, I plug my ears. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to hear about it. It drives me crazy. But it's not my thing. But it's your thing, some of you. So please send this stuff out. Audiobooks are available now for three books and more coming. More on the way. But right now, The First Idiot in Heaven is complete on audiobook. And so is How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. And so is The Really Bad Thing About Free Will. And the man who is doing this is a professional voice guy. His name's John Heth. And this is the provision of God. Because I met John and his wife, Jeannie, in Richmond, Virginia, the last conference at the end of May. And I wasn't seeking this out. He came up to me and said, how would you like to have all your books on audio? I said, oh, that sounds great. And of course, I've been thinking about doing it for years, but I'll never get around to it. I would love to read my own books, but I got to be a realist at some point. I can't do it. All right, I would love to, but I can't do everything. So here's John Heth, who I'd never met before. Swell guy, his wife Jeannie, swell lady. They're a wonderful couple. The kind of couple you envy, you know. You just envy them that they both know the truth and they fellowship together. But anyway, he's on it, man. Hell's coming up. Martin Zender Goes to Hell is coming up, and Eve Raised is coming up. So he's going to do them all. And the Live Every Man's Battle. Get this. John's going to do the Live Every Man's Battle. Big project. And his wife Jeannie is going to do Heidi's part. It's going to be great. I've listened to some of it. I've listened to some of The First Idiot in Heaven. The guy's good. He's a professional. And so God just put this in my lap, and John's digging it. He's rolling with it. What you want to do is go to Amazon.com and just put in my name and audiobooks, Martin Zender audiobooks, and the three audiobooks that are done will present themselves to you. And I guess you can become an Audible member on Amazon.com, and you might get one book free or something like that. And I guess they're on iTunes as well. I went to iTunes. I can't figure out how to find them on iTunes. But my sister Kelly sent out a link on email recently. If you haven't gotten on email yet, if you don't know about this yet, I talk about this quite often. You need to go to my homepage, martincenter.com. Scroll down just a little bit on the right-hand side. You sign up for my on the email list. That way I can communicate with you. There's some more lightning back there. Communicate with you if something ever happens, God forbid, on YouTube. So, all right, on to the message at hand. I got to give credit where credit is due. My friend Sharon in Cleveland, Ohio, sent me a voice message talking about Peter, the disciple of Christ, on the night of our Lord's suffering, denying him three times. This is a major lesson on the absence of human free will and the predetermination of God. I love this truth. I love seeing it worked out in these minute details. Now, when I talk about the sovereignty of God, I like to go to Isaiah 46:10. Isaiah 46:10, God tells the end from the beginning, right? We know this. He's the ultimate author. He set out everything ahead of time. He wrote the script ahead of time. Everything's set in concrete. The future is as set in concrete as the past. What God declares from the beginning, he does. God doesn't have to look ahead and see what's going to happen, come back to his time, and then predetermine things that he sees are going to happen. That's a time game that Christians play to try to get out of the sovereignty of God because they want to have their little human free will. All right, that's the macrocosmic picture. That's the big picture, Isaiah 46:10. God tells the end from the beginning. The end, like the consummation of the eons, if that's, he could be referring to that there, probably is, tells the end. Or maybe it's another end past that we don't even know about yet. But he does that from the beginning. Not by looking at the end to see how it's going to come out as if he has to wait and see what's going to happen. No, he decrees it, declares it to be from the beginning. And so what he declares is going to be is going to happen. Now let's take that into a practical example. And we see that with Peter, the disciple of Christ. At the Last Supper, Jesus declares to him that before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. That's the word of God. And what does Peter say? Being Peter, he says, oh no, Lord, I'll never do that. Forget about it. I'll never do that. Why? Well, Peter might have imagined he had a free will. And how easy would it be prove human free will if you found out that God had decreed something ahead of time, but you lie in wait and say, nope, I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen. And then if there's only one instance in the history of the world where something God decrees ahead of time doesn't happen, then we could make an argument for human free will. So I am certain that when Peter heard our Lord say that at the Last Supper, he said, well, this is going to be easy. I'll just make sure that doesn't happen. Why would I? What in what situation, says Peter to himself, in what situation could I possibly betray my master? Well, you all know what happened. It just so happened that Peter was put in an extremely stressful situation a few hours later, where he was confronted by people possibly associated with the temple, people who said, we saw you with that man. And the pressure was, he was so scared of being arrested. Peter had a family, wife and kids. What do you know? All this is working on him. I got a wife, I got a kid, I can't, and he just, it was instinctive. He had completely forgotten the words of the Lord that had transpired only hours before, maybe even less than an hour. So what does he do? What do you know? He denies the Lord three times. And then he hears, and then that's it. That's it. He remembers it. Probably said a curse word, knowing Peter as well as I do. And the word of God is fulfilled. And why did God put this in the scripture? Probably many reasons, but one of the first obvious reasons I can think of is to show that God's word will be fulfilled. Even if he tells somebody. Well, see, him telling somebody, like Peter, 1 hour before the event, what's the difference between that and God declaring the end from the beginning? God telling everything. Because Isaiah 46:10, God tells the end from the beginning. That included Peter denying Christ. That included that. Because he declares everything. God knows everything ahead of time. So Isaiah 46:10 would have included Peter's denial of Christ. But to just make a little demonstration here of the power of God, just so people can say, well, you know, Peter could have denied him if he had known about it. Oh, okay, well, let's put that to the test. Peter knew about it. He knew about it. And it still happened. Why? Because if God declares it beforehand, and he declares everything beforehand, it has to happen. It has to happen. And it wouldn't matter if God told you 1 minute. No, not you. No. If God told a free will believing Christian 1 minute before they were going to get a drink of water. No, no, no. 10 seconds. If God's audible voice came to a free will believing Christian in the kitchen who was getting ready to drink a glass of water, and God says, you are not going to drink that glass of water. In the next 10 seconds, when you plan on drinking, you are not going to drink that glass of water. Because I'm in control of the universe, God says to the free will believing Christian. I decide what's going to happen. You don't decide. You don't have a free will. And oh, the Christian, this is a juicy moment. This is a juicy moment. And the Christian's going to prove once and for all that a human can override the predetermination of God. Well, I can guarantee you that in the time between the Lord speaks to that free will believing Christian and the time that they go get that glass of water, either the lightning's going to strike their house, or their dog's going to run out the door, or they're going to get a phone call, or somebody's going to have, they're going to get a coughing fit. Any number of things are going to slip on the kitchen floor on their way to the sink. I can think, just off the top of my stupid Zender head, I can think of 100 things that would keep that person from getting that glass of water in the next 10 seconds. So if I can think of things, don't you think God has a few more things in his arsenal? But it's not like he's doing it as it's happening. He decided it a long time ago. And it's just a little bit humorous that this arrogance of human beings to think that they can override the will of God. I suppose it's easier to think that if they read a verse like Isaiah 46:10. Well, that was a long time ago. From the beginning, God decreed things. Oh, he didn't anticipate how things would go. He didn't anticipate how stubborn humans would get. So we can surely override his intention every day. Oh, but now we see, in the case of Peter, the disciple of Christ, something right before, an hour before, Jesus said, you're going to do this. Peter says, no way I'm going to do that. I will never do that. Well, gee, that's a nice little demonstration by God there that his sovereign declaration stands and no human can undo it. And this undoes one of the most hideous teachings out there, which is open theism. Open theism is at least logical. Because people who believe in free will, most Christians, they're illogical. They say that God's in control and that free will is true at the same time. Diametrically opposed. You can't have both. You can't have a God who predetermines everything and then people have free will. If God predetermines everything, then the things that are predetermined to happen have to happen. And if things have to happen, then they can't not happen. And if things can't not happen, then there's no such thing as a person deciding on his own or on his or her own in that moment what's going to happen. Free will is a complete myth. It's an illusion. It's a delusion. The key word being duh, duh. That's how I would spell delusion. D-U-H, duh, delusion. open theism. But the people who believe in open theism, at least they're logical. I mean, it's sickness. It's a sickness. It's a horrible teaching, but at least it's logical. Open theism says, well, if free will is true, then God can't know what's going to happen ahead of time, because they understand that if God knows what's going to happen ahead of time, then it has to happen. God knows everything. That's a handy verse to have. That verse alone disproves human free will. There's nothing about will. The word free or the word will is not in that verse. God knows everything. But the logical mind, knowing if God knows everything, then there's no chance. Then it has to happen. Whatever he knows is going to happen has to happen. If he knows it, he knows everything, so he knows what's going to happen. That's part of everything. So if he knows what's going to happen, the thing has to happen. And if the thing has to happen, that means it can't not happen. And that means that there's no such thing as a human deciding what's going to happen, because free will claims that the person is independent of any influence and they can change at a moment's notice. They can decide to go here, decide to go there. That's free will. And the open theism people acknowledge that. And so they actually take it to this logical conclusion. At least it's logical. It sucks and it's stupid, but it's logical. They say, well, then God can't know what's going to happen. If free will is true, God can't know ahead of time what's going to happen. And he has to wait along with his creation to see what's going to happen. That's open theism. Rick Farwell believes it. Dan Sheridan believes it. Last I checked, Ted McDivitt, he believes it. I don't know how anybody, and the three people I mentioned, all used to believe in the sovereignty of God. They used to believe that all was out of God. They used to believe that God declared the end from the beginning. But now they believe that God doesn't know what's going to happen next. And he's waiting to find out along with his creation. If you hear the words open theism, that's what it is. I want you to beware of these people, because this is what they believe. I have to say this, you know, that's part of my job: expose, rebuke, and entreat. So I've exposed the false teaching. I've rebuked the people I know of that are teaching it: Dan Sheridan, Rick Farwell, and Ted McDivitt. And now I entreat you to believe that it's God's decisions, God's predetermined plan that will happen no matter what. No matter what, it is going to happen. And no human being, even if they are told 15 seconds beforehand what's going to happen, they will not be able to withstand the foreknowledge and the counsel of God. And aren't you thankful that no human being can withstand the foreknowledge and the counsel of God?